I try to kind of open up a lot of my conversations with prospective FinMon providers that are just now learning. You know, what is this program all about, or what can or can't I do? Everybody can do anything they want. The cool part is that the member is free. I mean, they're not in a facility. They don't have to ask to leave, come and go. And I've had several instances where a member was placed into a home. There might be, you know, bed sores, wounds. After time, you know, dad can go back home and live with the family again, because the environment they were in prior to moving into a family model home wasn't so good, and their hygiene wasn't so good, and they're, you know, sores and wounds in certain places, frequent trips to the hospital. But once they make it to a safe environment where they're getting good nutrition, getting good hands-on, consistent care from the same caregiver, really has a lot to do with it. I've had several instances where that person does go back into their own environment that they came from.
Welcome to Now or Never, Long-Term Care Strategy with Costa Yepafonsif, a podcast for all those seeking answers and solutions in the long-term care space. This podcast is designed to create resources, start conversations, and bring awareness to the industry that will inevitably impact all Americans. Here's your host, Costa Yepafonsif.
Hey, y'all, this is Costa, and today I'm here with my guest, Jim Bork, Director of Adult Foster Care Services at Home Caregivers. Jim, we're honored to have you on the show today. Getting right into it, what is adult foster care?
Adult foster care is an alternative to, let's say, group homes, facility style care. It's very unique in the sense that you can support an individual from the confines of your own home, where it's more of a relaxed setting. The individual receives a more personable response from their caregiver, and the caregiver a lot of times just never changes. So the great part is that you get sustainable care from the same person day in, day out for, you know, hopefully eternity.
And so this is like people that are elderly or that may suffer from some kind of disability, and they don't want to live in a nursing home. They don't want to live with roommates primarily, and they want to live in like a family setting. So it's kind of like if they can't live with their own family, this is an alternative to that.
That is correct. Yes. As far as the family goes, you can live with your own family, but there's some state guidelines that prevent a few of those avenues of kind of who you can and can't live with, but you have to take those on a case by case basis.
Sure. So how does an individual typically find themselves in the adult foster care system?
So everyone we support is through the 10 Care Choices program. So a lot of times, you know, we will receive members that might be in a nursing facility wanting to exit for whatever reason. And then we might, have some members that are receiving Coleman community-based services at home. And they've kind of graduated from the 4 or 6 or 8 hours a day of care that they're receiving, and they're not able to support themselves based on those time frames. So then they kind of qualify in a sense for adult foster care, or what is called family model. Most of our successful placements are gonna come from an individual who has been residing in the community and is able to remain residing in the community instead of like going to a facility or something like that.
Yeah. And so like when you say 10 Care Choices, you're talking about the Medicaid program that's here in Tennessee. And there's a lot of people that listen to the show and that watch this show that are from different states, and they have their own specific Medicaid program. And I think it goes without saying that there are a lot of states that don't have adult foster care. And it's such a great program. Obviously, Tennessee is a leader in it. My question about the individual specifically, though, is if somebody is on Medicaid and they qualify for these services, why do they typically choose adult foster care versus, and this is something that we discuss often, because Medicaid gives you so many different options with regards to long-term care, why do they choose family model above other options?
Well, that's entirely up to the person supported, obviously.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll have some folks that are just kind of more geared towards living in an agency run or supported home where things are definitely different.
Sure.
You know, when you're living with someone in their home, you know, you tend to run into a situation where we have to conduct a meet and greet where we really get to know the individuals, know the ins and outs of daily routines, habits, likes, dislikes, things of that nature. So the ones that choose, you know, adult foster care are going to be the ones that really want it. It does not work for those who don't want it. Living with a lot of times, you know, in a sense is a stranger when you meet them for the first time, or you bring the person supported together with the family model provider. We learn a lot about each other kind of during those could just be crash course of an hour or two, just conversation. But it's definitely something that both parties have to agree on. And someone would choose adult foster care because they want to remain in a residential setting that still has structure, that's still
connected to the community.
Yeah, 100% connected to the community, but also being able, I mean, trust is a big thing to it, right? So, you know, when we conduct a meet and greet with the person supported and the prospective family, you know, what time do you get up? What time do you go to sleep? What kind of foods do you like? What do you do for hobbies? What do you do to burn time? What do you like to do? Do you like to get out of the home? Do you not like to get out of the home? So a lot kind of goes into what makes a good fit, which then, you know, turns into a successful placement.
So let's talk about that fit. What kinds of families or individuals are you looking for to become adult foster care parents? Do you need to have a care background? And do you have to live in a certain kind of home?
What we're looking for is we're looking for someone who is kind of already a homebody. You know, the commonality that I've found when I'm looking or searching for a family model provider is most of them say, well, I'm home a lot anyway. That's usually number one. Number two, the reason most people want to do this is because generally it allows them more time, not only for themselves, but also for their kids or grandkids. So it's essentially a work from home opportunity where you're doing good for someone else, which also makes that person feel good. But then they also have their own free time because depending on how that person wants to get out of the home, you know, the person supported or do they want to get out in the community? Do they like to get in the car, go for car rides, things of that nature, has a lot to do with a successful placement. And, you know, most people want to do this because it's someone that they can help improve their life while also improving their own life. The same sense of providing for someone that's in need, but just being able to be home, kind of write their own schedule, be with family, be with those they love, while also providing love for someone that really needs it is the main reason most people do this.
Does the house have to be outfitted a certain way? Like, does it? What happens if the house is like a 3-story house?
Yeah. This isn't very successful unless we have, you know, wheelchair accessibility into the home. So if you have a home, just has a couple steps, you know, into a doorway somewhere, you know, insurance a lot of times will provide ramps. Everything is provided for the member to safely, you know, kind of get in and out of the home, in and out of the bedroom. So no, it doesn't have to necessarily be wheelchair accessible when we meet. But depending on how the home is set up has a lot to do with whether or not someone could participate in the program or not.
I see. What kind of compensation can a family expect? And does the compensation vary? But ultimately, does this cover the cost of living for the individual you're fostering?
Yeah. So the rate of pay is a little over $3,000 per month per member.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot.
It is. Yeah. A family can care for up to 3 members in the home. So if you do the math on that, it's a pretty decent income. The person supported, they also contribute amount of money towards room, food, and board. So of that little over $3,000 per month, the only thing that the family model provider has to kind of divvy from that, it would be meals. Sure. So we are required to provide the member 3 standard meals per day. But the best part is the coolest part about this whole program really is nutrition. You know, I've placed a lot of folks into a home and then 69 days goes by and you see that person, they look completely different than they did when they first arrived to the home. A lot of what I say is really just due to nutrition. And just being in a comfortable environment really changes a person, especially those that might be transferring from a facility, something of that nature. The food, man, is really big for a lot of these folks.
So when they're in a facility or they're like in a hospital setting, or maybe they live on their own and they can't cook, you know what I'm saying? Like if they live in their own home, what kind of food are they eating before they come to one of these types of environments?
Unfortunately, if it fits in a microwave, that's probably what they're feeding themselves.
Okay. So they're not getting those fresh meals.
They're not getting meals that are actually cooked and prepared for them. Which is a big difference. A lot of box dinners, man. You know, we place a lot of folks in homes, and once those box dinners goes away, it's pretty impressive how it'll change somebody.
Wow, that's amazing. We're going to talk a little bit about your success stories here in a bit, but before we do, how long will an individual typically stay with the family?
Well, we hope for many, many years.
Okay,
really, I mean, until, you know, medical support kind of overrides the acts of daily living, which is essentially what the family model provider is doing. Sure. So, you know, that's just cooking, cleaning, hygiene needs, transportation, things of that nature. But we, you know, when we place a member into a home, the goal is for everybody involved is we're going to do this for a very long time. What is that time? I don't know. Really until, you know, a much higher level of medical attention is needed, essentially.
If they get to a point to where they have like a trach, you know, or something that, you know, requires like constant nurse oversight, if that person isn't an RN, they can't provide that type of that care for that individual. So they have to leave. But what if somebody doesn't have those types of instances and they just maybe improve health-wise and feel like it's time for them to get back to living on their own, maybe in their own apartment or something like that? Are individuals ever able to leave the foster care system?
Yeah, no. So everyone that is supported, I mean, these folks have their own rights. They can make their own decisions. They can come and go from the home as they please. I try to kind of open up a lot of my conversations with prospective family model providers that are just now learning, you know, what is this program all about, or what can or can't I do? Everybody can do anything they want. But the cool part is that the member is free. I mean, they're not in a facility. They don't have to ask to leave, come and go. And I've had several instances where a member is placed into a home. There might be, you know, bed sores, wounds. And after time, you know, dad can go back home and live with the family again, because the environment they were in prior to moving into a family model home, wasn't so good, and their hygiene wasn't so good, and their, you know, sores and wounds in certain places, frequent trips to the hospital. But once they make it to a safe environment where they're getting good nutrition, getting good hands-on, consistent care from the same caregiver, really has a lot to do with it. I've had several instances where that person does go back into their own environment that they came from before they moved into the family model home.
And that continuity of care is very important. I agree with you. Can you talk a little bit about some of the success stories that you've had with the people that you've placed in this program?
Yeah. I mean, I have one particular individual that was in a wheelchair for many years, a lot of issues with the spine, and moves into a family model home with a family who is active, likes to do things, likes to go camping, things of that nature. And kind of just through, I don't know if it's peer pressure or what, it's pretty interesting when you kind of put somebody in an environment where there's a lot of moving parts that they weren't.
New expectations.
Yeah, they weren't previously exposed to. And now when they have options to go places, do things, they have more, they're more inclined to do the things they weren't inclined to do before. And you'll find a lot of folks will come off of a lot of medications. They use their assistive devices to ambulate a lot less. They get stronger. But yeah, I mean, the success stories, they range from being in a wheelchair, coming out of a wheelchair, on a lot of medications, coming off of a lot of medications. If I had to pick one more specifically, you know, we have a lot of folks that might be in the hospital for whatever reason, and they might need placement from that hospital. And then next thing you know, they're living in a family model home, and now they're talking to their family again. You know, maybe they weren't doing so well with their family in the past, whatever happened, placed them in whatever position they were in. Now they've moved into a family model home. They've been able to relax. They've gained a little bit more independency, And now they're talking to family again. Now they're talking about, let's move back closer to mom, or maybe I can move back into mom's house. I've had a few of those scenarios where, you know, the heat might be on in whatever environment they're in the past. They get somewhere they can settle and relax. They have someone who listens to their needs. And next thing you know, they're calming down and they're getting more back involved to where they needed to be. And that's with their family. So those are pretty cool.
I apologize. I have a cough that I've been trying to get over for 2 weeks. One thing that strikes me is, you know, obviously this program is based around individuals who are on Medicaid. But what about the individuals who don't qualify for Medicaid? Do you ever come into contact with people who are just regular folks that may be living in an apartment and they've started to realize, or a family member of theirs has started to realize, like, hey, I don't think I can do this by myself anymore. And I can't necessarily move in with my loved one because they work all the time or they don't have the time to care for me or the resources. Do you ever get calls from just people that want to use your service outside of the Medicaid program?
I do, very seldomly. And that's honestly the worst part of doing this is understanding how great it can be and then having to tell someone that unfortunately don't qualify. So one of the hardest parts of this program for me to understand is that family cannot care for family in this arrangement. So immediate family, right? So, unfortunately your kids can't care for you. A distant cousin can, something like that. But unfortunately, immediate family is not able to care for family in this arrangement. I don't know who made that rule or why or what happened along the way, but those are hard because a lot of times, I'm taking care of my mom and what can I do to get involved with this? And it's unfortunately we can't. But, there are some that can't afford the private pay side of it. But that's the hardest part is understanding that there's folks out there that do need the help and unfortunately don't qualify. And it takes a long time to go through the whole process, 9 months to a year, a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I think just to explain a little bit about why, I know it's puzzling because you and I both have the same questions. I'd say probably why immediate family can't care for their loved ones is, I guess there's this opinion that you don't want to pay people to stay home, meaning like, state legislatures, whatever it might be, decide that that's probably the best route forward. But I will say this, what people don't realize is the unpaid, unreimbursed care economy. So like, for example, if you were taking care of your parent or loved one, you're not going to get paid for it, but you're still going to have to put work in. That economy is billions of dollars of lost productivity that's not paid from any reimbursement. No dollars are exchanged, essentially. And that can only go so far because as we are an aging society, become more of an aging society, the pressures and the demands are going to increase. And so I believe that eventually the rules will have to change to be able to provide for resources for family to be able to take care of their family members. Because I think you would agree with this. There is nothing like your own family taking care of you, right?
No, yeah, for sure. It's what everybody expects. It's what everybody wants in their life. I think we all have parents that says, you're not going to send me to a nursing home, right? You're going to take care of me when I'm old. I think we've all experienced that on the early and the latter stages of life, both ways,
Yeah. So a lot of people that are watching this probably are confused about the adult foster care component, but I'm sure that they are very familiar with children's foster care, right? Adopting a child or fostering a child. So how are the responsibilities and the expectations of adult foster care different from fostering a child?
Well, I've never experienced the children, foster caring for under 18-year-olds. If I had to guess how it differs, adult foster care I would say it's far easier. You already have one who knows what they want, knows their likes, dislikes, and has lived a lot of life. They just want to be somewhere that's peaceful, has some consistent care, just has someone that cares. You'd be surprised a lot of times. The hardest part of my job is trying to learn about the individual that I'm trying to place into a home.
So what are the most common questions that you get about adult foster care?
Most common question is, if I had to guess, the most common question is, what do I got to do to do this? I mean, the most common question is, what does it take to become eligible to provide this service, really? And I kind of open that up. I say, well, the two most inconvenient components to this program are, one, there's some training involved that costs you nothing, but it's going to be 30 to 40 hours of your time.
Sure.
And then outside of that, it is the fact that whenever the member is at home, we need to be at home with that member as well. Most mm-hmm. of the time, you know, each person supported kind of comes with their own set of rules.
Sure.
But more or less it's what do I need to do to be able to provide these services? And one is training. Yeah. And the second part is understand that whenever the member is at home, we need to be at home with them.
One more question and then we're going to wrap up. You think of all the services that we have available to us. You have assisted living, you have nursing homes, you have living in your own home, receiving care a few hours a day. You have the group home model. And you also have adult foster care model. If you were a private individual, like let's just say that you had the money to pay $6,000 a month and you could make a decision about using any of these services, assisted living, nursing home, in-home care, et cetera. But you had only $6,000. So you can't have like 24-hour care in your home because that would be well above that amount. But everything else, you can have up to whatever $6,000 is every month in care in your own home. What would you choose?
Well, I've seen all aspects. I've seen all the various different options that there are. And I would choose adult foster care, but I would also choose my family properly. So, it's not that easy. It's not that easy making a good fit. I tell most people I'm really just trying to marry personalities here. That's really all I'm trying to do, because that's everything. If you can get some like personalities together in the adult foster care program, that is the best answer. I actually did a training just last week with a gentleman who's been in the healthcare industry for a very long time. He says, "Oh, you do adult foster care or family model services?" And he says, "I think that's the future of healthcare."
Yeah.
But we got to do it right, you know. So mm-hmm. we'll see.
Well, I mean, you essentially said the through line that I was about to say. You are working on a program that is the future. The only component that you're missing is the family members being able to care for their own family. But when we look and we talk about this at length, we've broached this subject at least 50 different times in 50 different ways with 50 different people across 50 different locations. So when you talk about how you're going to effectuate and solve the demand and supply crisis for the care economy and the long-term care industry, you have to have family taking care of family. Point blank, that's the only way that you're going to be able to meet the demand of all these people that are aging. And technology, of course, too, but just strictly with the tools that you have, present at your disposal now, it is essentially human beings. So I think you're onto something. And you may be working with your hands tied behind your back right now, but there will come a time where you will be able to spread your wings and fly.
One of the things to consider is once I have a placement at a home with a family and time goes on a little bit, mm-hmm. I either say it earlier or later, but the truth is this particular program is the least funded, but yet provides the most consistent and best level of care, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
And that's just kind of an unfortunate reality. Mm-hmm. I think if there's a little bit more funding behind it, it would make it a lot easier and it would still be cheaper than the alternative.
Sure. Absolutely right. So we always like to end the show with a call to action. What's your message to anyone that's listened to this podcast and thinks they'd benefit from the program? And more importantly, what are the next steps?
I'd say this is a great opportunity for anyone who has ever thought to themselves, you know, I need to do something. What do I want to do? And I want to have control over what I do. This is a great opportunity to do well for others and do well for yourself and do well for those that are around you, because you'll have more time for the ones that you love while improving someone's life. To anyone considering doing it, if you've ever wondered, how can I create more time for myself and receive an income? This is it.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Now or Never, Long-Term Care Strategy with Costa Yepafonseth. If you enjoyed listening and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Leave us a review, or better yet, share this episode with a friend. Today's episode was written and produced by Morgan Franklin, production assistance by Mike Franklin. Want to find out more about Costa? Visit us at costayepafonseth.com.